Well, I can't tell you how much I did not like Zoom. I love seeing everybody, but it's not the same as, you know, reading your faces and do you have something to say? And, you know, it just, I am just so incredibly excited. I hardly slept last night. So excited. So, and I hope that you share that same excitement and what a joy and a privilege it is for us to be together this morning. You should have a, I'm calling all these things tools because they're not necessary. But this is if you want to take notes. We titled it The Big Picture because that's kind of what we did this last week and what we're doing next week. And just kind of putting the overall picture, like for those of you that went to Refresh and, you know, doing the puzzles and we're doing, well, some of us start with the outside edge. That's the context. And that's what I'm going to be referring to this morning. It only takes about 12 minutes for me to read Colossians, and I really want to do that this morning because that's what we're looking at is the big picture. And I want you to think of it as if you've just gotten this letter. So that you can just think with me, you can follow with me, whatever works the best for you, but I want to just read through this before we get started. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and fellow faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understand the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you've heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I'm absent in the body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking a stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. If you've died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. So therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. Excuse me. I don't have COVID, I just have sinus issues. Ooh, sorry about that. Okay, now where was I? 12. 12, thank you, Joyce. So as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Wives, be subject to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. And as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And with Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who's one of your number, they will inform you of the whole situation here. And Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas, cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions, if he comes with you, or to you, welcome him. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, also laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, and also Demas. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. When this letter is read among you, you have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry that you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment, and grace be with you. So, who was the... one thing before we start and to kind of discuss the lesson. There's a couple terms you'll see repeatedly throughout the lesson, and I think I caught most of them, but when I'm talking about a true believer throughout the lesson, I'm referring to someone who's a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure none of us have that confusion, but there are many now, and we know, that call themselves Christians or believers, but they're not true, dedicated, wholeheartedly followers of Jesus Christ. So when I use the word true believer, that is what I'm talking about when I make that reference. Okay, so day one, number three. Who is the author?
Paul.
Paul, okay. There are going to be a few of those questions where it's like, oh, she wants more. No, it's just Paul. I thought I'd just give you confidence right from the get-go. So number four on day one. So what were some of the author's concerns? Again, we're looking at big picture, so you know there may be some details we leave out and we're going to pick up as we go along. So
he was worried about heresy.
Uh-huh, yep.
The denying Christ's deity. And in his word, ascetism?
Yeah.
Well, that's how you say it. And I looked it up, and it's a doctrine that a person can attain a high spiritual and moral state by self-denial.
Okay.
I'm not sure. What
well, we're going to get into some detail, Joanne, with those things, kind of all the different false teachings throughout the book that he brings up. So we will definitely get back to that.
Okay.
Yep. Any other comments with regard to his concerns, things you picked up as you were, or even what you heard this morning?
Well, even though he commended them on their faithfulness and so forth, he still was wanting them to remain faithful in the hope before them, and to continue the knowledge of his word.
Okay, right. So encouraging them to continue to grow in their walk with the Lord. Yeah.
And then in verse 1, 22 and 23, warning them, do not walk away. And, you know, as women, we are to bring those who we feel like are walking away back on track.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a neat warning to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other things that you might have picked up when you were looking at what his concerns were?
Yeah, in 2:8, Paul was talking about, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and then be deceived according to the traditions of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And then he repeats kind of that same thing, that they would be cheated by taking delight in humility, worship of angels, intruding into those things which he hasn't seen, daily puffed up by his flesh. I think his main concern was that they would be led astray and robbed of their rewards by following after kind of fleshly pursuits, things that kind of fed their pride and so forth, rather than a resting in sufficiency of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's also concerned with the order of the church, you know. Mm-hmm. He's also concerned with the order of the family. And so, because those two blend, and so that's a lot of fun to see his care.
Yeah, because you see it throughout all four chapters, his love and tender concern for them, even though he hadn't met them. Mm-hmm. So, Roseanne, do you have something?
No, I got to get to my head.
Oh, okay.
I'll be careful.
Just wanted you to know I was paying attention. Any other?
I saw that Christ is supreme, and we don't need anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're going to see as we look at that this false teaching, every aspect of it was Christ plus this. You need to have this, and then you're going to be complete. Or you need to have this, and then your salvation will be secure. And we're going to talk about all those things as we hit them in the letter. But yes, and Christ is supreme. Any other thoughts there as far as author's concerns? Okay, so day two, number three. Who was the letter originally written to? Who was the letter originally written to?
The Colossians.
The church in Colossians.
Saints and faithful brethren.
Thank you.
Oh,
yep.
What did she say?
So I heard saints and faithful brethren. I heard the church at Colossae. Anything else?
To the Jew and the Greek.
Because there's like we talked about that. Yeah, there's going to be a mixed group there. One thing, as I was kind of going through this again last night, that the other aspect of this is he also was writing the letter not only to those at Colossae, but to Laodicea.
Yes.
And so that's important to remember, that it initially went to Colossae and then it was going to Laodicea, and then obviously it applies to us as well. So did you find the map helpful, or did you look at the map this week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know for us that are, I tend to be visual, and so I thank my husband for drawing this, because I can't do any of that. I can't even draw a straight line. But if you look at your map, you've got Colossae here, and we know that Laodicea was about 11 miles away, and Ephesus, which is, you know, over towards the coast here, was about 100 miles, and then Jerusalem down to the southeast was about 1,000 miles,
yeah,
if they were having to walk. So just to kind of give you perspective as far as what area we're talking about, that is in current-day Turkey, for those of you that even care, but that's where it, you know, that's where the ruins are in any event. So what were some of the historical things that, and that's on the very bottom of your notes, if you're taking notes. What were some of the things that you saw as far as the historical setting of things?
Well, one of them was that it was built on a major trade route in
initially,
the Roman province of Asia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some thought that by the time Paul's writing this, that Rome came in and built a new road, kind of like what happened to places around here where, you know, there were a little country, little road, and then they built a freeway.
Yeah.
That's, okay, so then that poor little country town dies almost, and that's kind of what happened in Colossae as the road got rerouted. So they were still pretty developed as far as trade. That was established, but they were a little bit farther out of the way because the main road didn't run through town anymore. It was up to Laodicea. Any other historical things that you picked up that you thought were interesting or maybe helpful in telling us who these people are? Jump.
Well, it said that there were many Jews there, and they were very lax in their religion.
Yeah.
And there's also, they were known for purple wool.
Yes.
That's cool.
Very cool. And what's cool is, for those of you that study tabernacle, that dye is the, gives me goosebumps. It's the same dye they used for all the beautiful curtains and tapestry and all of that. So, anyway, and they just recently, someone gave me a subscription to Archaeology Today, and you got to kind of take some of what's put in there with a grain of salt, but they found in some recent excavation about a piece of this purple cloth. And I'm timely, that is so cool. And it was faded, but it was like, that's really cool, because that's what they were known for. They didn't find it in Colossae, but somewhere else. But anyway, the fact that it existed, so...
And that dye was very hard to come by, from what I understand.
Yes, it was. Very, very hard to come by. Okay, so we know there were Jews in the community, but...
it was mostly Greek.
What's that?
Mostly Greek.
Yeah.
Gentile.
Yeah. We talked about this yesterday, but Antiochus III brought 2,000 people to Colossae, Jews, mm-hmm, and had them established there. But by the time Paul's writing this, there, you know, we don't know how many were actually there at that point. The belief is there weren't near as many as there were Gentiles, partly because of the trade route.
And I had heard that it dwindled in its importance by the time Paul came.
Yeah.
It was, you know, incredible celestial city, they called it, but by the time of Paul it wasn't.
Yeah.
I also read that it was damaged three times.
Yeah, earthquake.
Three
right?
times by earthquake. Yeah. It had to be rebuilt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was
yeah,
interesting.
What took Celestial City?
Well, I meant it was celebrated. Did I say celestial? Yeah. I meant it was celebrated. Yeah. Sorry, I can't even read my own writing.
Well, no, but I was thinking that we could stretch that because of all the cults and the idolatry, and that's what I was going for.
Don't know
why. Anything else as far as historical setting?
Just that it was a very large population.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know how big it is, but yeah. And then I'll put purple. You know, the thing with the purple wool or cloth that they put out there is that was very expensive. Mm-hmm. So obviously people were coming into town that had money to buy that.
I had read that King Xerxes, it's located in Persia, but
yes.
This was a major city at that time when he was in power. And he had come through Colossae several times on his way off to various battles and would come through with troops. So it was considered even though the city wasn't large geographically, it was called Colossae. It was colossal, that word.
Yeah.
It was considered a big city. And those days because of its importance and prominence more so than its size.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and, so we see that there were some Jewish elements. I mean, even though they weren't, this strong Orthodox Judaism, there was still Jewish elements that were being seen. You know, we saw there was a mixture of legalism, and there's early Gnosticism that we're seeing, Greek philosophy, polytheistic worship, because we're finding that even in archaeology when they started excavating some of that. So when you think about all of those things that are prevalent in their culture, you can understand then why some of those things would be a concern for Paul, because they're coming out of that.
Yeah.
So anything else that I didn't write in here that should be under here for historical setting?
I just thought it was great he has personal connection, so it's the home of Epaphras, it's the home of Onesimus. They lived there. So he had, firsthand,
people that lived there that were reporting to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Okay, so day number three. Question number two. What was the vital word that you saw repeated throughout Colossians?
All.
All? Okay, so track with me for a minute. If I took all the alls out of the letter, would it change the meaning of the text significantly?
Yes.
Is there a word that maybe would be just as repeated, if not more repeated, that would be the most important vital word in the letter?
Christ.
Okay. Christ. So we're going to call that the vital word.
And the pronouns referring to Christ.
And what's that?
And the pronouns referring to Christ.
Sure, definitely. Let's see. You probably aren't going to be able to read. So key word words is that obviously Christ is the vital word. And then you said there's all. Anything else that kept coming up? Tasha?
In him.
In him, I know, yeah. In, since I was reading the letter, in him, yes.
He is.
Thanksgiving or thanks.
Okay.
Prayer is also mentioned.
Yeah.
The will of God.
Wisdom and knowledge are both righteous one and one.
Yeah.
Mystery?
Yes. Who said that? Great. Thanks, Christine. Yeah.
Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Yeah. Anything else that maybe you saw that we don't have up there?
Through him,
yeah, because it's the same. Okay. Yep. Anything else?
Will of God.
Yes.
You get that.
I saw hope repeated a couple of times.
What was that?
Hope.
Yes, hope is in there. Anything else that probably would fall under the vital?
Grace.
Faith in Christ.
Faith in Christ, okay. I'm going to put
prayer.
Faith in
these three verses.
Yeah, what else?
Prayer.
Oh, we got that, yep. Got
grace.
Okay. Anyone see either word or gospel? Did somebody say that already?
Yeah, hope and gospel were kind of major thing, yeah.
Yeah. So, kind of the purpose of going through and looking at words, keywords like this, is when an author repeats it, and John will say this too, it's like, and as you read it and you pick it up, and if you've marked it, you begin to pick up, well, what's the author really talking about? What's his emphasis? And that kind of helps us direct our understanding of what he's talking about and what's important. So if you see repeated words, that's got a trigger in your mind. Ah, this must be important. And go back and look at that. So what are some of the warnings or problems? And I know we've mentioned a few of those already. This is question number 4, day 3. What are some of the warnings or problems?
Gulp's teachings and how it affects their daily living.
Yeah, that kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Yeah.
I didn't hear what she said.
Can you repeat it so that Nancy can hear?
False teachings and how it affects their daily living.
Thank you.
Yeah, any other warnings or problems that came to light that you saw or observed? Natasha?
He told them, not anyone judge you in food or drink or run festival or remains of Sabbath. Colossians 2:16.
Yeah.
You don't have to lie to one another, put up anger, let there is blasphemy, cruelty, anger and stuff.
Yeah. Good. Okay, great. Any other observations as far as warnings and or problems?
He kind of basic, but he encourages them to be mindful and self controlled to remember who they are in Christ.
Yeah.
What he's done for them.
Right.
It's kind of just the basics of watch for these things, be mindful, but also it's Christ who does them.
Yeah. Because he kind of brings them back, that balance of this is who you are in Christ. You need to be central in this. And, oh, by the way, there's all this stuff out here, and you need to be mindful that stuff's out there, but stay focused on Christ. So good observation.
That's kind of like what we're doing even today. We're to be mindful of what's happening in the world around us today, but not to concentrate on that, but to...
Or start embracing it. Or you figure they're coming from that. Mm-hmm. So it takes a while. I mean, I've been a believer for a while, but, you know, when you're first saved, there's a lot. And I continue to, you know what, I've been thinking about this, but you're in the Word and you realize I've been thinking about that all wrong. Mm-hmm. So this whole perspective of all this teaching that was, they would have been indoctrinated by all that, and now they're saved. So now we have to start thinking, how are we going to put this stuff off and put on the new and live the new self? So it's interesting, some of the warnings, not to be deluded, not to be deceived, not to have someone judge you, not to be defrauded, all of those things kind of are part of those warnings that Paul gives them. So heresy is a problem. It's in the problem in the church today. Some of the things, and again, we're going to look at these in detail, is, well, the spirit's good, but the matter's evil. One must follow ceremonies, rituals, and restrictions in order to be saved or be perfected. One must deny the body and live in strict... I can't say that word. Thank you.
What was the word?
Asceticism.
Yes.
Oh.
What Joanne was talking about earlier. Yeah. Yes. Angels must be worshipped. Christ could not be both human and divine. One must obtain secret knowledge in order to be saved or perfected, and this is not available to everyone. One must adhere to human wisdom, tradition, and philosophies. It's better to combine aspects of several religions, and there really isn't anything wrong with immorality. And, you know, when you think about those things, and that's what Paul was warning them against, how much of this is any different than what we're seeing in the world today? They might look a little different, but probably not very much. So day four, number two. So what are some of your repeated, readings of Colossians, why did Paul feel there was a need to write to the church? So this really goes back to his purpose, the author's purpose.
Say that again, Chrissy.
Was it Epaphras who came to Paul and told him what was going on?
Sure.
The church and all this stuff going on.
Right.
I think he wanted to first build him up and say,
yeah,
you're doing great.
Yes.
I love your faith and your love for each other. So he encourages them and builds them up, but then he says, but I need to warn you of these things. So, you know, you're running well. Don't be hindered.
Right.
Just don't listen to heretical teaching and remain firm in your faith.
Right.
He wanted them to be grounded in truth so they could protect them.
Yes, grounded in truth.
To proclaim Christ's supreme power over everything he created on earth and in the heavens, he wanted to urge us to live godly lives.
Right. Well, he wanted them to understand who they were in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything else that maybe came up that he went, oh, that's why he wrote that? Or what were some of the things that made you... And we'll talk about this more, certainly, but...
I thought that was interesting that he kept referring to his chains. This is a prison epistle, and he kept reminding them of his afflictions and his chains. And I think that in doing that, he's calling them to take up their cross for the sake of the gospel, which he preached.
Mm-hmm.
He kept saying, to this end I labor. It was all about the gospel for Paul, the advancing of the gospel of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ, the supremacy of Christ, the commission of Christ, and the preeminence of Christ.
Right. Well, and you see that in not only, you know, them going out and sharing the good news, but they're living life that's reflective of, you know, being in the kingdom and being Christ. So, anything else that maybe popped up as far as his purpose for writing? There was quite a bit there.
Is it praying for others?
Well, yeah, certainly, because you see that by him starting out saying, I'm praying for you. And not only that, and I love it, in all of his writings, he starts out with this level of building up and encouraging them, like Joan said, and then going, okay, so you're doing great in these areas, but then here are some things you can be doing. So he really modeled that of asking them, okay, I'm praying for you because I want you to have this understanding. And then he gives them, here are the things I want you to understand about Christ and about the heresy that's surrounding you. So you should have on your paper, if you're writing it, is, I didn't put recipient up there, but recipient would be the saints and faithful brethren of both Colossae and Laodicea. And we're gonna talk more next week about what we know about Paul and what we know about these recipients. Your keywords of Christ being the vital one, all in him, thanksgiving, prayer, wisdom, knowledge, will, hope, faith, grace, and gospel. There was a lot of key things that were being said in what he wrote. And then the author's purpose. So there's a lot of things, and we'll probably continue to add to that a little bit too. So as you look at what the author writes about
that helps us determine what his purpose is. You know, looking at repeated words, looking at warnings. We didn't even talk about commands, just for sake of the time for the lesson, but we will be talking about that. Paul concentrates on the supremacy of Christ over all false gods. His loving care for these believers is evident in the way he starts out telling them he's praying for them and affirming the great report that he's received from Epaphras. There's a widespread belief today that we are the product of our heredity. Am I saying that right? Our environment, and that those things are the driving force in who we are. Paul says, no. Our identity is in Christ. He is our all in all. In Christ, we've been made complete, and Christ needs to be central in our thinking and in our actions and how we're living. His letter also brings out the fact that all believers form the organism known as the true church, which John talked about that on Sunday. I love how God does that. In the church, there's no Greek or no Jew, or circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. We belong together, we who are members of the body of Christ, and we cannot be indifferent to the concerns of our fellow believers. Every generation, believers are tempted to go along with the philosophy of the times. It's easy how wrong thinking gradually creeps in, often unnoticed that. We're seeing that in churches that aren't grounded in the Word. It's often a challenge to step out of the thinking of the day, which is why it's so important we're immersing ourselves in the Word. God renews our mind daily. As we're talking about the Word and we're going to start memorizing some of the Word, we also need to have teachable hearts so that the Holy Spirit can teach us. Paul began his letter to the church saying he was praying that they'd be filled with the knowledge of the will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is what they needed to combat the heresy of the day. So no different for us. We need to be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. Let me just close in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, that for those of us who know you, we have a relationship with you. Our identity is in you. You have brought us to yourself, and you have given us a specific giftedness, Lord. You have given us the ability to understand your word. Father, you give us the power to be obedient to your word and to live a life that is honoring to you. Just praise you, Lord, for our time together this morning, that we can be together, physically be together. Thank you for your word that we know, that we can know you and we can know how to live in light of who we are in you. Pray that as we go to our small groups, that it would be a sweet time of catching up with one another and encouragement, and that we would be encouraged to by our sisters in Christ to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. And we just praise you and thank you for this time and joy of being in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.